ASAP. Any score, any place. We'll pull up on your boat, gang, but don't bang.
Bro, who's making this shit? No, wait. Who did this?
Let's go. Come on.
I'm so tired from watching.
90-yard touchdown. 90-yard touchdown.
What is up and welcome into the Lockdown Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. And we are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly on Facebook during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Lockdown Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Alright guys, well, a special thank you to anyone who's checking us out for the first time and to all of our loyal fans who continue to listen to us. And today we're going to be getting into a recap of last night's Hard Knocks episode. There was a lot to get into, as always, and even though the Rams had a scrimmage during the Hard Knocks, they still didn't steal the show the way that the Chargers did. So we're going to be getting into a lot there, especially, you know, Keenan Allen and Chris Harris Jr. going after each other. Wide receivers coach Phil McGowan really stealing the show and finally giving that expletive-laced rant that we knew we would hear at some point from Hard Knocks, and much more. But to start the show, we're going to be talking about the news that the Chargers have officially said that they and the Rams will not have fans in attendance at games to start the season. So we have to start there, and then also give another update on what Mike Williams' injury looks like at this point. There's even more information out now that means it could be a little bit longer until we see the Chargers' second-best wide receiver back on the field and what exactly that will entail for the Chargers. But let's go ahead and get into it. On Tuesday, the Los Angeles Chargers officially announced to their fans that no one will be in attendance for them to start the season. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. In a joint statement with the Los Angeles Rams, who shared the same new stadium with the Chargers at SoFi Stadium, both teams said, after careful consideration and discussion with state and local health officials, the Los Angeles Chargers, Los Angeles Rams, and SoFi Stadium have announced that Rams and Chargers games will be held without fans in attendance until further notice. This is something that we expected to come at some point, and with California's rules right now and the ban against mass gatherings, this is something that I don't think the teams were able to avoid, but it did not say that it would be like this for the entire season. They did end the joint statement by saying, should conditions surrounding the coronavirus pandemic significantly improve and state guidance evolve to the point where we believe fans can safely attend games at SoFi Stadium, we will communicate the news at that time. So, David, this is not necessarily a surprise. Right now, they would not even be allowed to have fans at the stadium, even if they wanted to. But it's still not great for season ticket holders of the Chargers, and definitely not the best news for the team as far as making money goes, but something that had to happen.
Yes, it did have to happen, and both owners of both of these franchises that are going to play in this stadium, this was not the way they envisioned opening up SoFi Stadium. They did not want it to open up in the midst of a pandemic where they have to fill stadiums to help pay that $5 billion note that was on this state-of-the-art, beautiful stadium that the Chargers and Rams are going to be playing in for the foreseeable future. But unfortunately, for at least the first few games, they are not going to have any fans in the stadium. And the Chargers owner, Dean Spanos, put out a statement saying, "We know our community, however, is still in the throes of a pandemic, and our only way out is to heed the guidance of state and local health officials and community leaders. Every decision we have made and every decision we will make in the future begins and ends with the health and safety of our community, players, coaches, and staff in mind." A very politically correct answer from the Chargers owner, but you wouldn't really expect anything else. And they do have to be very careful, and I think they've done the right thing so far with the pandemic. They've already released the refund policy, and the Rams have followed suit with many other Major League Baseball teams selling cardboard cutouts for season ticket holders and the general population. I would imagine, Daniel, that the Chargers are going to follow suit with that same thing very, very soon.
And we've already seen other NFL teams, including the Chargers, start to try and sell advertising space where other season ticket holders may have had tickets at one point, especially at the bottom levels of the field. And I think the Chargers will absolutely do that in any way to try to recoup some of that money. And Dean Spanos also made some news when it was reported that he actually lent center Mike Pouncey his private jet so that Pouncey could go to his grandmother's funeral in Florida. So definitely a huge gesture by the Chargers owner and something that I'm sure means a lot to his players. But another thing we got an update on Tuesday was Mike Williams' shoulder injury that is going to cause him to miss some time. And previously it was reported that the timeline for him to return to the team was going to be 2 to 4 weeks. But David, now for the third consecutive day, we get more news on Mike Williams, and it seems like it actually could be a little bit longer.
The Athletic's Chargers beat writer Daniel Popper came out with a statement saying, according to a team source, 4 to 6 weeks is a more realistic timeline, and the Chargers are preparing for the possibility of playing without Williams for the majority of September. So it's by the sound of that, it is a lot more severe than we had originally anticipated. If the Chargers have to go with the first full month of the season without Mike Williams being able to contribute within this offense, it's going to be very, very difficult for the Chargers to be able to try to replace a guy like that. They have a lot of receivers that are in camp right now, but not many of them are in the same profile as an outside, go-get-the-ball type of deep ball receiver like Mike Williams is. The Chargers have a lot of slot-type receivers, so this may lead for the Chargers to go outside of the organization to try to fill that gap if this injury is as severe as they say it is. And the Chargers might also be regretting the fact that they did not address the wide receiver position earlier in the draft, instead deciding to go pick two wide receivers in the late rounds. We'll see how smart of a decision that turned out to be.
And especially given this condensed training camp and weird offseason because of COVID-19, it's hard to really have to rely on any kind of rookies for any sort of significant impact, especially early on in the season, which is when this is obviously happening. And for the Chargers, they have 3 games in September, so that's going to be a big time stretch for them without their number two receiver. And the next closest guy on the roster is not even close to that. And I would also caution Chargers fans specifically to think back to last year when Michael Badgley made the opening day roster instead of getting put on the injured reserve list. And even though they had said he was going to come back soon and it was only going to be a few weeks, he still missed about half of the season. So we have already seen this prognosis change twice in as many days, so the Chargers are going to have to assume that Williams is going to be out for a while and make roster adjustments accordingly, because like you said, right now they do not have anyone on the roster that can currently fill those shoes. But we do have 2 more segments to get into because it's time to recap last night's Hard Knocks episodes for the Chargers. Lots of funny moments, and we're going to be getting into that right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that Built Bars are back, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And right now, the Built Bar is back and better than ever. They have 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, and more. Built Bar is great for a health-conscious guy. If you're trying to lose or maintain weight, you can do that while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and they're great for the keto diet as well. And right now, you guys can get a free bar cooler with any purchase while supplies last. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. So Hard Knocks is something that I've definitely enjoyed most of my years of being a football fan. I've been watching it for a long time now, and this has obviously been a special treat to see the Chargers as one of the 2 teams that they're focusing on. Obviously, it would be better if the Chargers were the entire episode, and I think every single Chargers fan would agree with me. But once again, on Tuesday night, the Chargers stole the show, and they had it from the very beginning because wide receiver coach Phil McGowan started it off by basically cussing out his entire receiving room. And it was about the blocking that he was seeing from the receivers at the time. The play he was talking about, it sounded like one of his guys was supposed to block Derwin James and he didn't. And it led to a lot of really good quotes like, "I don't care where you went to high school. I don't care what college you play for. If you don't block, you're not going to play here. Not for Lynn. You're not going to play here. I don't give an F how fast you are." And there's going to be a lot of F's and S's during this show because, I mean, we're not allowed to say the curse words, and there were a ton of them in this episode, David. And I think that what he was saying is absolutely true. And I think the gist of it is, if you want a job, if you want to impress somebody, go block the effing S out of somebody. If you're going to block somebody, you're going to play here. If you don't, you'll be gone. And I don't think I could have said it any better myself.
I mean, that's pretty cut and dry, right? I mean, hey, you need to go out there and put somebody in the dirt consistently. You got to remember, this head coach right here is a 51st, 52nd guy on a roster, a backup running back, a special teams ace, a guy that made his rounds in the NFL grinding it out day after day and doing absolutely everything that he could, including blocking, to stay on an NFL roster. So that is exactly what he is going to expect out of all of his players on his football team. He made that very clear. Phil McGowan made that very clear. And later on in the episode, Anthony Lynn confirmed exactly what Phil McGowan was saying.
He did. And the whole point of him saying that you're not going to do that for this team, you're not going to do that for Anthony Lynn, was because their coach is a guy who made teams by being, you know, the last guy on the roster, like we've talked about, and just he had to do everything just to try to make the team. So if you think you're going to take a part of your position off by not blocking somebody, you can definitely know that you're not going to make the team that way, and you're definitely not going to make a good impression with head coach Anthony Lynn. But it was really funny because he's sitting in the office by himself, and he probably got that video sent to him by some coach or something like that because he was watching the same thing that Phil McGowan was watching, you would think. And he's sitting there by himself and he's just saying, terrible, terrible. I mean, if you don't block for me, you won't play for me. That just is what it is. I go in the coordinator's office every week and I say, feed Keenan Allen, Keenan blocks. And I actually really believe him. I mean, these are the kind of things that he definitely gets hung up on just because, you know, he would not be the guy that is doing that. So you're not going to be the guy doing that on this team. And David, I think it just also shows you how much these coaches talk to each other, right? I mean, if you're not doing well with your position coach, that's going to get back to the head coach and vice versa. I mean, Lynn is talking to all of these guys and telling them which players he thinks are playing hard and all of that. And if he sees something like that, I mean, that's an impression that's going to be hard to get back, because once the end of this training camp comes and you're seeing, you know, which one of these guys you want to keep, these are the moments that are going to come into play. And like he said, one of the reasons why Keenan Allen gets fed is obviously because he's wide open all the time, but also because he's willing, even though he's one of the best receivers in the league, to do the dirty work as well.
Well, and that's an underrated part of his game, Daniel. I think he's a great blocker too. He is a ferocious blocker. I mean, Keenan Allen's a big guy. I mean, 6'3", 210 pounds or so. Keenan Allen is one of those guys you love to have in front of you if you're a running back, because you know he's going to give it his all every time to try to get you more yards and try to get you up the football field, which is a very unselfish act. Something you don't see from a lot of A-list wide receivers around the NFL. That's what makes Keenan Allen so special, besides his just swagger and obviously incredible natural talent and ability. But I mean, what better example do you have than a guy who is one of the best at his position saying, hey, I'm going to go do this. And if Keenan Allen can do it, then every single one of you need to be able to do it too.
Yeah, and they actually went back to that well again. They showed more of Phil McGowan staying the star of the show as he was in this episode, back in the film room, showing a play where it looks like, I'm pretty sure it was Jason Moore trying to block Desmond King. And he doesn't do a very good job at it, to the point where Phil McGowan says, it looks like you're trying to throw a chicken wing and that you're scared of contact. So that's definitely not something you want the coach to say. And he also said, I've tried to tell you guys, I've said it positive, I've said it negative. I don't know what to tell you other than your job is on the line. And for a lot of these guys, that is the truth. But one of the other things it showed was Anthony Lynn getting on a Zoom call with all of his players. And, you know, he, of course, wants to see all of his players. He wasn't letting any of them go with the black Zoom screen. He's like, I like to scroll down this and look at you guys and all this stuff. And he always seems like an old man when he's trying to handle technology like that. But he did have a very important message, because the pads were coming on that week. And what he had to say to these guys over Zoom was, protect each other. If you get a free shot, you don't take that shot. You protect your teammates. And he also said, don't start counting yourself out. if you show all the right things, I'm going to be telling these coaches that. So he also had a little message for those guys at the end of the roster, who I'm sure he has a soft spot for, just telling them that don't count the guys at your position that are left on the team and just try to do the math in your head to see who's going to make it. Stay with it. And more importantly, David, keep your other teammates safe, which obviously you have to say, but we already saw with Kenneth Murray. I mean, he had a quarterback. People are already going over that line, but you have to say these things up front.
Yeah, I mean, you got to let these guys know that, hey, these guys are your teammates. Yeah, that's the defense, and yeah, that's the offense, and you got to get work done, absolutely. But you still got to remember that you want these guys to be able to strap it up and line it up and play on Sundays. You don't want to injure your own guys because you couldn't take it easier, couldn't resist taking that shot. You can't do that. You can't do that to your fellow teammates. So Anthony Lynn just, being the leader that he is, putting it out there, saying, hey, yeah, I want you to go and give me all your juice and your energy, but I also want you to be smart about it too, because we want to make it to week one against the Bengals as healthy as we possibly can, and that means taking care of each other.
Yeah, that's exactly what the message has to be, and there's nothing worse than one of your players injuring another player. I remember when I played football, we were going into a playoff game, and I, as a freshman, was up on the varsity team, not to really play at that point, but just to kind of learn for them during their playoff run, and one of my friends, who was also on the freshman team, hit one of the linebackers during one of the drills and hurt him, and I think he ended up playing in the game, but, I mean, he was hobbling around, and I just remember how terrible my friend felt, and I remember how much trouble he got in, because you just don't do that against your own guys. You do whatever's possible to help those guys. They ended up ending that part of it with Anthony Lynn actually bringing Jalen Guyton over to the sideline and hearing something you definitely don't want to hear from your head coach, especially if you're a guy trying to vie for that wide receiver 3 position, saying, if you don't block, your ass ain't going to catch a ball. That's bull S. Blocking is an attitude. And I think that just shows you what kind of, intensity he expects on a daily basis. You're not going to take any plays off with Anthony Lynn as your head coach. But we still have a lot of the good stuff to get into. We're going to talk about Melvin Ingram's holdout and how that was chronicled in Hard Knocks, as well as the best part of the episode for sure, Chris Harris Jr. and Keenan Allen reflecting on some of the trash-talking moments they had in the past, and also showing them going up against each other one-on-one in practice, which is something we talked about being excited for a long time, even before we thought we would see it on Hard Knocks, coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that if you guys are planning to eat out but you don't really want to go out, there's only one thing to do, and that's to get on your DoorDash app and have your favorite restaurant delivered right to your house. DoorDash right now has a socially distanced contactless delivery where they will drop all of your great food off right at your doorstep, so you don't have to worry about getting cash out, having transactions with a cashier, or anything like that, because DoorDash, you order the app easily. All of your favorite restaurants like Wendy's or Chipotle or Cheesecake Factory will all be on there, and they will bring it to your house in a flash, and they will leave it on your doorstep, so you don't have to have any sort of interaction with anyone if you don't want to. And DoorDash has over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia. And I know just at my house alone, I think I get 250 different places that deliver to me. But right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order. Just download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word. Don't forget, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. So one of the things that we really talked about in the offseason, even as early as us just talking about which players were going to be free agents from other teams that the Chargers could potentially target in free agency before we ever even knew this guy was going to come in, was Chris Harris Jr. And talking about, even if he didn't necessarily fit with the Chargers because they had Desmond King, the fact that you would just love to have a guy with that attitude on the same team, but also how awkward it would be, because Keenan Allen once said that Chris Harris Jr. can't hold his jock strap. And we got to see an inside look on this, David, in this week's episode of Hard Knocks, something I was very, very much looking forward to. And there was a lot to get into as far as them going back and forth. But first, it just started with a montage of all of the different battles that they've had over the years with Chris Harris Jr. in Denver, and having those two guys go up against each other and talking smack specifically to each other. Even Chris Harris Jr. going up to the sideline saying, hey, how many catches does Keenan Allen have this game? And just holding up a zero. nothing. I mean, such good battles between those two guys. And we finally got to see in this episode what it looked for those two guys to go up against each other in practice.
Yeah, it definitely was really exciting. A great part of the episode for sure. I mean, I think they would have been doing everyone a disservice if they did not highlight the type of special battles that Keenan Allen and Chris Harris Jr. have had throughout the years. Some really, really intense battles, great matchups, some teaching tape on both sides. Both of these guys are phenomenal craftsmen at their position. Keenan Allen, obviously, we all know, is one of the best route runners in the NFL. And Chris Harris Jr., for many years, was a phenomenal corner, a guy that was versatile going inside, outside, and had that swagger to say, I'm going to lock you down and go up to head coach Anthony Lynn and say, hey, I'm going to lock your number one receiver down. And, you know, that's what's going to happen, just point blank. There's not a lot of people that has the swagger and confidence to be able to do that, but that's what makes this great, because both of these guys are alpha dogs. And you saw in practice them going one-on-one. Chris Harris got a couple battles. Keenan Allen made him look dumb in a couple of battles, I'm going to be honest, as well. But that's what's going to happen. They always say iron sharpens iron, and that's absolutely true. You're only going to get better when you face off against one of the best position players that you're going to go, one of the best players at his position on the offensive and defensive side.
Yeah, it's always nice to see the ones going up against the ones too, but the highlight had to be Keenan Allen running off the field and saying, y'all bring your sweet and sour chicken ass home. And I mean, he just has so many weird things to say like that. And then it flashes to Chris Harris Jr. on the sideline, definitely a little heated, saying, I didn't clamp that boy too many times in the game. Think I'm worried about practice?
So practice? I mean, he had an Allen Iverson
there
moment.
Was definitely some Allen Iverson in there. Phil McGowan also saying, ooh, put him in a blender, spinning like a top. Treated him so badly, got to call Child Protective Services. So
that was pretty hilarious.
He definitely got a kick out of that. And then Keenan Allen telling Mike Williams how Chris Harris Jr. fell over when he was trying to guard him. That was pretty funny. So, and then it showed Chris Harris Jr. at his new place in Los Angeles, showed his kids over FaceTime, and then one of the kids was saying that they don't like it at grandma's house because she's not tucking them in like they did usually. So that was pretty
adorable
cool
family,
that.
By the
super,
way.
Super adorable, and we'll get more into them at the end because that wasn't the last time they were on it. But I did think it showed what it's like for a player to go to a new team like that and have to travel across the country, especially given everything that's going on right now and how tough that can be for a new guy. But the next focus was on Tyrod Taylor, and it started by him talking with the media, talking about his experience with Baltimore going to a Super Bowl and winning one as the backup quarterback there, ending the playoff drought in Buffalo, and then also getting traded to the Cleveland Browns. But something I'm sure you guys have seen over social media and you weren't sure you were going to see it on Hard Knocks was the moment when Tyrod Taylor knew that he was mic'd up, and he used that moment to push a cause that he truly believes in. And he said, you know, why you guys got this mic up? Why don't you go arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor? See if they show that. So credit to HBO for showing it. I don't know if they necessarily had a choice. You can't really keep something like that, especially with the Chargers already putting it out on their social media. But I definitely have a lot of respect for Tyrod Taylor. I mean, he doesn't have, you know, that many chances. He can't really ruffle any feathers or anything like that. But he still took that moment knowing this was going to get put out to somebody, or really wondering if it was going to, and standing up for that because that was such an atrocity. So I definitely like to see him stand up for that like many other athletes have as well. But it
kudos
really
to Tyrod and to the Chargers organization too, because none of them shied away from this. They talked about it openly. They put it out there. They didn't hide. And I think that was the right approach.
And I don't know if any franchise really handled this thing great. It's hard to tell how much of franchises putting things out there publicly, you know, just has to do with the due pressure of, you know, everyone kind of being on them. If you don't say anything, then that's just as bad as saying something wrong, you know, just by being silent. And I think that they have handled it well, though, so far compared to other teams. And I think they've been on the forefront, and Anthony Lynn has led the way. And I think Tyrod Taylor feels that he's able to say these things. But there was a cool moment with him, you know, stealing the projector for a second in the film room and starting to break down a play and starting to kind of adjust a play to the way he thought it would work well. And it led to Brian Bulaga talking with him, saying, hey, you know, we used to run this all the time in Green Bay. And it was cool to see him kind of dissecting the offense like that, David, and getting some input from his teammates and kind of taking control and really putting his imprint on the situation.
I loved the fact that he was just able to just go up there, take the coach's laptop and be like, hey, we're going to look at this together. We're going to talk about this just as teammates, as players, and just that creative process. It's kind of like making a song or making music or something. They're sitting there and they're all collaborating on trying to make this play better. And it was really interesting to get that input from Brian Bulaga and to see Austin Ekeler watching so attentively. I mean, those are the insights that Hard Knocks gives you that you don't get anywhere else. So that was really, really cool to see that. Just that display of leadership. Tyrod Taylor taking the reins, taking advantage of an opportunity and saying, hey, guys, let's work on this together so we can try to perfect this for the regular season.
Absolutely. And there was a little moment where, you know, Anthony Lynn was talking about the fact that he is still an introverted quarterback, and I'm not talking about Justin Herbert. I'm talking about Tyrod Taylor, and I think they both are like that in that manner. Neither one of them is a very outspoken guy as far as a rah-rah type of leader, but they do lead in their own ways, and Tyrod Taylor in this moment was leading by example. But that brought us into them singling out Melvin Ingram, talking about his holdout. It goes to several different analysts saying that he's not going to come back until he gets a contract extension. Well, he didn't end up getting the contract extension, but it did show how appreciative these coaches were that he was there. I mean, it was a totally different vibe than when Melvin Gordon held out. Obviously, he didn't show up to the practices. Melvin Ingram was in there. You saw how much he was coaching. You saw how invested he still was in this team. And there was just a moment where Anthony Lynn's talking and saying, you know, you couldn't get any clearer message from this guy that he wants to start and finish his career with the Chargers. And of course, they also had to get into his rapping career. It showed him going to the studio. It played some of his music. And like Tyrod Taylor, he wants to use his music to talk about some of the tragedies that have happened in this country. He mentioned George Floyd in one of his songs. He also mentioned Breonna Taylor in one of his songs. So I thought that was cool for him to keep reminding everyone that Black lives do matter and using his platform for a better cause. But we all know Melvin Ingram's the rapper. He's the trash talker, David. And it really all came to a head once he got back on the field, once the contract was resolved. He gets back on the field and he made an impact almost instantly.
He definitely did. But I mean, also before that, you just saw the leadership that Melvin Ingram brought to the table. Absolutely. Spending that time with the coaches, spending that time with the players. It seemed like the coaches, again, like you said, just genuinely loved having him around. And he was involved, but he just wanted to get his money guaranteed for the season. As soon as that happened, he comes into practice and makes a play right away. He basically called game at the end of the practice. Anthony yep. Lynn said, hey, you know, here's an opportunity.
2 minutes and 13 seconds left.
Yeah, to end the drill. And Melvin Ingram says, hey, if we get an interception or a turnover, the drill's over, right? And coach says, yep, it's over. And, of course, the way they cut it up or edited it, you got Melvin Ingram doing a pick six on a screenplay and the drill being over. So those are the kind of things you love. And then, of course, afterwards, Melvin Ingram talking to his fellow teammates saying that's why they had to guarantee that $14 million. I mean, that's just so – it's so Melvin Ingram. I mean, it's just exactly who he is. But I think it just goes to show you how much they love and respect Melvin Ingram around that building, everybody. So it was good to showcase that and also just see a different side. I mean, they said that he's so professional and the coaches love how and you know how professional he was during this whole situation. So I think it was an amicable situation. And again, I'm glad that they got the situation handled quickly.
Yeah, and you just don't see holdouts go like this, right? I mean, I said before that this is the best case scenario for a holdout. It really was. Anthony Lynn was shown on there saying he's been in practice every day. It was great to see him out there. He's teaching these young guys. He's so mature and professional. It's just cool to see how he can joke, get everybody loose. But as soon as that whistle blows, it's a different demeanor. And immediately goes to practice. He blows up Hunter Henry, knocks him on his ass, and he says, you better get your ass in the weight room. And then there is a couple other good quotes from him. Him just saying, give me that rock when he's trying to tackle a running back. Or, that's a sack. You ain't getting that ball off, Tyrod. I mean, there was just, he's just the absolute best. And I think, you know, for all the people who said that the Chargers should trade this guy, there's a reason that they're not doing it. It might not be the best business decision to keep this guy around as the highest paid player on this team, but he means so much to that locker room. And for them to get rid of him after Phillip Rivers has recently departed, I think would have been a giant mistake. So
heart and soul of the defense type of guy, Daniel.
Heart and soul of the defense, heart and soul of the team. I mean, that's how big of a leader that Melvin Ingram is, even to the point where Pep Hamilton comes up to him at the end of practice and says, if you take that energy that you have and the respect that you have and lead this team the right way and hold them accountable in everything we do, we have a chance to win it all because we have the talent. And for the Chargers, that has been the thing for so many years. They have the talent to win these games. Why aren't they winning them? So I think that was really a cool moment. That's the quarterback's coach coming up and saying, you know, that to them. But the last part of it, quickly, we'll just talk about the fact that it went back to Chris Harris Jr.'s family, him getting the family back together after spending about a month away from each other, which is crazy to think of, and then them being at the beach and telling his daughter to pick out a house on the beach to get, and then once she picks it, he says, well, I'm going to need 5 interceptions this season if I'm going to get that house. And then at the end of the episode, David, there was a couple of funny moments just because it showed John Lott, who has been a star of, you know, in a couple parts of a couple of episodes, but he's also on social media all the time too. He's throwing a medicine ball with one of the guys. The guy keeps throwing it low. And then he's like, whoa, whoa, I'm up here. That was my nuts. And then he throws it again. Still my nuts. And then Denzel Perryman also gave us a pretty funny moment as well.
Yeah, John Lott's been pretty hilarious thus far here in the Hard Knocks, but he's such a great character, and I'm really appreciative of all the content that he's putting on social media, too. A lot of workouts, a lot of just inside access that you would not get, so he's a great follow. If you're not following him, definitely go out there and do that. It'll be a benefit to your social media game, but Denzel Perryman never missing an opportunity to try to get that Gatorade sponsorship that he has so desperately been wanting. Just hilarious.
Yeah, that part was pretty funny. Denzel Perryman's walking to the bus, and he's just saying, I'm from Miami, so this ain't nothing, but California, this is hot. And then he stops right before he gets in the bus, looks directly in the camera, and says, hey, man, y'all stay hydrated. It's just, Denzel Perryman is definitely living it up on the Hard Knocks life. He definitely is loving the camera time. But I think another episode that was really focusing mostly on the Chargers. Obviously, they had to carve out a little bit of time because the Rams had their scrimmage at SoFi Stadium. The Chargers will be soon, and that should maybe be on the next episode of Hard Knocks. So I'm really, really excited to see that because it was cool seeing the Rams and all, but you know, we know who we really want to see on there. But another good
episode. We don't care about the Rams.
We don't care about the Rams at all. Well, fine, we'll say it. We don't care about the Rams. We wish we weren't there. They just want to, you know, try to find any excuse to put Sean McVay's girlfriend and Jared Goff's girlfriend on the camera. I mean, whatever. But I can't really argue with that Aaron Donald. I think he had 5 sacks just against Jared Goff in the scrimmage that I counted. So that guy is the real deal, and I would watch that guy play pretty much all day. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Thanks for listening to this Hard Knocks recap. We definitely plan on doing this for you guys till the end of it. So we appreciate you guys coming in and giving it a listen. But until next time, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to get your voicemails about Hard Knocks or whatever on the show, make sure to call 1-323-524-7924 because we try to get on the Locked On Chargers voicemail line because we try to get every Chargers voicemail played on the show. But that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow as always. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.